I feel so good. Man, I feel so good. Look at that smile. I made them so happy. Well, what is that? That you have been cheerful in your giving. How come we don't transfer that over to the kingdom of God? That when it, you know, I know some churches, man, when it come time for offering, you know, folk get up and shout, clap. Now, once again, I don't want to do it if it's going to be fake. You know, I don't. But I mean, if it's in your heart, man, every now and then, Brother Jeff, every now and then, I wish somebody would say amen when they say it's time for offering. Every now and then. I wish I'd get an amen from somebody. Every now and then I wish somebody say, man, praise God. Another opportunity to give. Oh, every now and then. It would be nice if you're excited about it.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the five P's of giving. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the five P's of giving.
And God blesses you. Now, you know, there ought to be proportionately, you get a little bit more than what you got before. Now, didn't you ask God to bless you? Didn't you ask God for the job? If I was to come back to you now, wouldn't you say that, man, God has been good to me? And you give all the praise to God, but proportionately, you're still the same. Now, I'm having a hard time with that, Reverend. Well, let me give you another. Look, turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. Jesus, it says in Luke chapter 21, in verse 1. Luke chapter 21, in verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting in their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in there two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they. For all these have of their abundance cast in their offering of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she hath. Now, it said that this lady came up here, this widow, and you know, that would give an indication that she might have been an elderly lady, that she comes up and she gives two mites. Now, you know what a mite was? A mite was an eighth of a penny. An eighth of a penny. So what did she give? She gave a quarter of a penny. She came up there. Now, you know, the other thing I find interesting about this? Now, of all the things... Oh, you watch yourself, Pastor Glaze. Now, watch yourself. Of all the things that Jesus could have been doing, man, he could have been looking for somebody over here, be healed. He could have said, "Well, look, come on, let's pray, brothers. Let's have a word of prayer." Of all the things that Jesus could have been doing, he was watching what they was giving. That's deep, man. That's deep. Of all the things that he could have been doing, he was watching what they were giving. And so this lady comes up here with a quarter of a penny. And she comes up and she drops in the quarter of a penny. And then you got the big rollers. They're coming up with their barrels of treasure. And they're, y'all watching me, right? And Jesus said, look, he said that little lady who gave a quarter of a penny. Now look, all that money that they gave, that's going to help to build this, and that's going to help to buy that. But you see, God is not concerned about how much you give. God is concerned about your heart. And in your, if your heart is right, it will be reflected from a proportion. This little lady didn't have hardly anything. But in proportion to what she had, she gave a much that pleased God. And these guys came and dumped in tons of treasure. And Jesus said that she gave more than they did. Man, I like God's economy. I like God's economy because I can get in on the little bit that I got. And I can be just as blessed as a person who has a whole lot. And so, you know, we need to see that giving is to be proportionate. You know, the IRS got this thing from God. They got it from God. That you give according to your means, according to what you have. You know, if you only have a certain amount, then God proportionately only expects a certain amount from you. And if you got a little bit more, then proportionately he expects a little bit more from you. But see, it all comes back now, saints, to the issue of the heart. So we are to give profusely, purposely, proportionately, and then, what time is it? I might have to stay here for a while now. Giving is to be positive. You know, if giving, and I say this now, and I know the deacons probably get mad at me after when I say this, but I say this. If you're giving with a bad attitude, you know, you might as well go ahead and keep your money. You know, I mean, if you come in with your jaws all tight and upset and angry, then you might as well keep it. You know, because your heart is not right before the Lord. God is looking at the heart. Look what he says here back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says in verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Look at the notes that I wrote here. The Jews had in the temple two chests for alms, and that word alms means giving. And the one was, in the Hebrew word right there, of what was necessary. So they had one chest, what was necessary or what was required by the law. There was one chest, according to Jewish documents. There was one chest in the temple, and that was the required giving. That's right here, this chest right here. This is required. Remember last week we talked about that 23%, that 10% went to the tabernacle, that another 10 went to the festivals, and that another 10 every third year went to the poor, okay? So 23% right here in this little box right here. Now, they had another box, and it was actually called the free will box. So you could come and you could give, that was required in the required box, and you also had the option to give a free will offering, all right? So I just wanted to lay that background. Now look at this. To escape perdition, some would grudgingly give what necessity obliged them. Others would give cheerfully for the love of God and through pity to the poor. Of the first, nothing is said. They simply did what was required by the law. Of the second, much is said. God loves them. The benefit of almsgiving is lost to the giver when he does it with a grumbling heart. The benefit. And as he does not do the duty in the spirit of the duty, even the performance of the letter of the law is an abomination in the sight of God. And that's according to one commentator, Adam Clark. So, if the heart is not right, then God is not pleased. If our heart is not right, if we're not coming and we're coming because, oh, well, you know what? Look at this box right here. I got to give this. And we mumble and we complain. Oh, I hate that I got to give this. You know, there was a pastor who was sitting in his office and the phone rang. And somebody on the other end said, hello, is this Pastor Johns? And the pastor said, yes, it is. He said, well, this is the IRS. And I was wondering if you could help us. And the pastor, man, got a little nervous. He said, oh, you know, what's going on here? He said, does Bruce Parker belong to your church? And he said, yes. He's a member of my congregation. He said, did he donate $10,000 last year to the church building fund? And the pastor paused and smiled for a minute and said, he will. Yeah, he will. Now, let me ask you a question. You think Bruce is going to donate that cheerfully? That's not going to be a cheerful offering. But God is looking for a cheerful giver. He's looking for that giver. And see, here, once again, see, when I talk in this area, there's a lot of room for me to get in trouble. But he's not looking for folk now who are going to give and expect something back. Now, God will bless you. He will bless you as you give. But if you're giving it with the expectation that you're going to get something back, then your heart is wrong already from Jump Street. And so I'm like Brother Bo Ford when he preached. If I'm going to be blessed because I send you $1,000, and you're the one that has the need, then why don't you give me $1,000, and then God will bless you. See, when we went, you know, man, sometimes, let's be honest, saints, and I hope I don't offend anybody today, but you know, sometimes we swallow the thing, hook, line, sinker, fisherman, boat, and the lake. You know, the whole thing. Now, doesn't that make sense? If your ministry needs to be, it has some need, and you asking me to send to you so that I can be blessed and your need can be met, well, the only thing I'm really sure of in this deal, the only thing that I'm really sure of is that you got my money. That's the only thing I'm really sure of. So, you know, we need to understand that, and I think that that's what's caused giving to get a bad name in church circles these days, that people, you know, oh, there they go again. There they go. Oh, there he go again preaching on money. I had a member say, you know, Pastor, every time I come to church, you preaching on money. I said, well, you know what? I only preach about once every 2 years. So, you know, giving has to be a positive experience. You know, you've got to give and just say, you know, Lord, I just want to give to you. I want this thing to be positive. I don't want it to be grudgingly, and I don't want it to be because the box is here and I got to come and put something in the box. And see, that was probably the problem with the people over in Luke 21. They was pouring their money into the necessity box with a bad attitude. With a bad attitude. There was a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. And he was told that he was the only match because she had this rare blood type and that he was the closest one around that could do it. And so he decided that he was going to give his sister a blood transfusion. And so they were laying there side by side, and the little boy was there, and, you know, they were taking the blood out, and his sister needed it, you know, to survive. And she laid there. Her body was pale and fragile. And as the blood was transferred from his body into hers, that the rosiness came back in her cheeks. And a little bit more life came back into her body. And as she lay there, as the sister began to move around and started looking a little better. And the little boy laid there, and he just was looking up in the sky. And the doctor came and said, everything is over, son. You've given the blood, and your sister's doing fine. And he looked up at the doctor, and he said, doctor, when am I going to die? See, he was giving, even if it was going to hurt him. He gave. He wasn't expecting anything back. He was giving because of his sister. And he thought that he was going to die. And the doctor started crying. And the doctor said, son, you're not going to cry. You'll be all right. Just go home and drink some tomato juice. But do you see the spirit of the young man? Do you see the spirit of the little boy? He was willing to give to his sister even when he thought that his life was going to end. You know, That's giving. Amen. And he didn't do it grudgingly. He did it because he wanted to be a blessing. Amen. Giving is to be positive. And then finally, this morning, giving is to be what I'll call passionate. He says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. This is powerful. This is powerful when I think about this. Look at your notes. God loves a cheerful giver. And who does not? Value as any gift may be in itself, yet if it is forced and constrained, it cannot be procured only after great importunity and preserving effort who can esteem it as desirable. God desires the heart in every service. Now stay with me now, because I'm going somewhere with this. No service that is not cheerful and voluntary, none that does not arise from true love to him, can be acceptable in his sight. Look at this. God loves it because it shows a heart like his own. Wow. A heart disposed to give cheerfully and do good on the largest scale possible, and because it shows a heart attached from principle to his service and cause. Why does God love a cheerful giver? Because God is a cheerful giver. My son, somebody said it here today. What are we going to thank God for? Salvation. Cynthia said it. Thank God for our salvation. Amen. What a God. My son, for so-and-so, for him to go up and shack up and commit fornication or something. My son, for so-and-so to go down there and cuss somebody out. My son, for somebody who is consumed with canning everything, getting everything they can and canning everything they get. Give my son. No, that's not the attitude of God. God's attitude is one of giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his monogenes, his only unique son, his only one-of-a-kind son, that God's love was so strong that he gave. Man, he gave his best. He gave his all. And when we give with a heart of passion, we are acting just like God. And I believe that God looks down and God says, look, there goes one of my children right there. That whenever we give, there goes my child. And the word cheerful, it said that he loves a cheerful giver. And this word cheerful comes from the Greek word hilarion. And guess what we get the English word from here? Hilarious. God loves a hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. You can't wait. You can't wait. When you buy a Christmas gift and you give it to somebody, you can't wait to see the look on their face when they open that present. Because you have gone out, you have braved the crowds, you have lost your salvation by getting angry with people in the parking lot. You have stood in line waiting for the last, talking Elmo. You have gone through it all, and you wrap it up, and you can't wait. Oh my goodness! I can't believe that you bought this for me. And then what do? You just sit there. I feel so good, man. I feel so good. Look at that smile. I made them so happy. Well, what is that? That you have been cheerful in your giving. How come we don't transfer that over to the kingdom of God? That I know some churches, man, when it comes time for offering, folk get up and shout. C- clap. Now, once again, I don't want to do it if it's going to be fake. You know, I don't. But I mean, if it's in your heart, man, every now and then, Brother Jeff, every now and then, I wish somebody would say amen when they say it's time for offering. Every now and then. I wish I'd get an amen from somebody. Every now and then I wish somebody would say, man, praise God, another opportunity to give. Oh, every now and then. It would be nice. If you're excited about giving, God loves a cheerful giver. That I've gone out, I've worked, I've slaved, I've given my time, I've given my life. You know, you just think about this. Whatever you give, whatever you make $10 an hour, $15 an hour, $20 an hour, you know, and you come and whatever it is that you give, just sit back and think sometime that, you know, this is what I'm getting ready to give to God. You know, this is 8 hours. This is my first day that I've worked on my job. That the whole day that I worked on my job, I'm not seeing a penny from that because I'm giving it right here. You know, man, if you're doing that, just think of it. That's a sacrifice, brother. Yeah. Or even if you go and say, okay, well, you know, Monday from, if I work from 8 to 4, from 8 to 12, I'm working. You know, I'm doing my work. I'm being diligent. I'm working hard. I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to do. But you know what? These first 4 hours, this is for God. Yeah, I've given my life. I've taken sweat, I've taken grunt, I've taken energy, and I have given it to my job. I have focused it. And you know what? Even in that time, you know, so my boss got down on me, you know. He gave me a hard time. But God, this is for you, God. You know? And you're taking your sweat, you're taking the time, you're taking the energy that you put into whatever it is you give when you come to the house of the Lord, you're taking that and you're giving it away. You're giving it away. Man, if you're going to do all that, why are you going to come in here grumbling and mumbling about it? Man, you ought to come and say, Lord, this is the time that I sat at that desk, that I sat behind the wheel of that car. Lord, that I was out there in the field. Lord, that I was jackhammering, breaking up some cement. Lord, I was doing this for you. This first 4 hours is for you. Here it is, God. Here it is. God, this is my life, and I'm giving it back to you. Man, there ought to be some excitement in that. Man, there ought to be some excitement, you know, when you think about that. And so God loves a cheerful giver. And this issue is an issue of the heart. It's of the heart. You know, I believe that, you know, with some folk that God just done said, look, you know, you're going to do what you want to do anyways. Yeah. Because I'm not after your pocketbook. This is what I'm after. And when God got your heart, everything else is all right. Everything else is all right. So as I said last week, you can tell the people that heard that we were going to do this series, they can come on back next week. We're done.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of When You Throw God's Boomerang, Watch Out. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, the 5 P's of giving, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request the 5 P's of giving. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the 5 P's of giving. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.